Columbia Values Diversity Celebration. I am Monica Naylor, and I will represent the Event Planning Committee today as the Mistress of Ceremonies. We would like to thank Brittany Stutz and Kate Jones for the wonderful musical experience during our breakfast. Let's give them a hand. I would like to take a moment to ask everyone to turn off their cell phones, please. Also, if you need to leave early this morning, please do so through the side doors on the north side of the room. Please stand while the Columbia Fire Department Honor Guard presents the colors and we enjoy the singing of our national anthem by Julie McGinnity.
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled
please remain standing for the honor guard to leave and for an invocation written by Reverend Amy Gerhart and read by community members Dr. Barbara Williamson and Reverend Gerhart.
Let us now go to that sacred place within us. Holy One, we gather today to celebrate and to offer to you the rich tapestry of our lives and stories with one another. Bound in that tapestry are the swaddling cloths of security, community, and unconditional love. Picnic blankets holding imaginations of renewal and joyful play. Blood-soaked bandages of martyrs who have given their lives for peace with justice.
Bound in the tapestry are pyramids and banners that claim our identity, all as children of God. Quilts that are gifts of refuge for the homeless, the hungry, and the hopeless. Tablecloths of bread broken, relationships mended, and reconciliation restored. This tapestry is an offering to you. So weave us, even this day, into a garment of soothing warmth and healing. that will be to all a sign of your love and work in the world. Amen.
Thank you. On the back of your program, please find the many financial sponsors of the Diversity Celebration. We are sure that you have seen their company and organization names in the media, on our screens, and in the written program. Without their financial support, our event would not be possible. There are a few sponsors that joined us after the program was printed, and we want to recognize them now. Much thanks to our Champions Veterans United Home Loans, Boone Electric Community Trust, and McDonald's Restaurants of Columbia, Advocates Quaker Oats, and at the Friends level, Columbia Interpreting Services, Reality House Programs Incorporated, and Broadway Christian Church. Also listed in the program are the many people involved in the planning and coordination of this event. This includes the members of the Columbia Values Diversity Celebration Planning Committee, which represents the diversity of our community as well as staff from the City of Columbia. The committee would like to give special thanks to city staff members Heather Cole, Sarah Dresser, Tara Crane, and Joyce Galena for their timeless commitment to the success of this event. On your table, you will find a compilation of writings by the students of the 4th through 12th grades from schools throughout Columbia. McDonald's Restaurants of Columbia has again generously sponsored the Student Writings Program. The wonderful booklet was printed by Missouri Employers Mutual, and they have our deep appreciation for all they do within our community. Also on your table is a calendar of community events that commemorate Dr. King's birthday. Each year, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday is a time at which we celebrate the life and teachings of Dr. King. I think we would all agree that although we still struggle with many of the issues with which he grappled, Dr. King's dream of equality and justice is alive and well. Today, we recognize both our similarities and our differences while celebrating who we are as people and who we are as a community. In 2013, we lost many individuals, both locally and internationally, who were champions for diversity and human rights. Would you join me in a brief moment of silence to honor those who have gone? Thank you. One of the reasons why Columbia is often recognized as one of the nation's best cities, and most recently by the Milken Institute as the number one best performing small city, is because we have leadership that recognizes and promotes diversity and inclusion. For this, the presentation of the 17th Annual Columbia Values Diversity Awards, we are honored to have our Mayor Pro Tem, Barbara Hoppe.
Thank you. Good morning. Each year, the City of Columbia gives both an individual award and a group award to persons and organizations whose work in the community exemplifies that of Dr. King. This year's nominees are listed in your program along with the previous award winners. A panel of judges selected by the Planning Committee is charged with choosing the Columbia Values Diversity Award nominees. This year's judges were Steve Galloway, Raymond Hayes, Deborah Hohenstein, Robin Kaufman, Sarah Reed, and Phil Steinhaus. Their decisions are based on the publicized criteria of contributions promoting appreciation for diversity and cultural understanding in the community, community work which exemplifies the teaching of Dr. King in fostering individual dignity, racial equality, understanding, peacemaking, and solving problems through nonviolence. And finally, engagement in this activity for an extended period of time with significant activity in Columbia the preceding year. Columbia has many people who work for equal opportunity for all, so choosing among the many deserving candidates is a difficult job. It is with great pleasure that I now present the 2014 Columbia Values Diversity Awards. Will the representatives of Ulysses S. Grant Elementary School please come forward? They're on their way. All 10 or 12 of them. Grant Elementary School has deep roots in diversity. It opened in 1910 and is the oldest existing school in Columbia. In 1959, the Battle family broke the color barrier by sending their children to Grant, which made Grant the first elementary school in the city to be integrated. The school works tirelessly to fulfill its mission through a cooperative effort with parents and community by helping all children reach their academic, intellectual, social and creative potential within a safe and nurturing environment. Grant currently has students that represent 27 different countries. At their annual celebration of cultural events, Grant families and friends are invited to share their cultural heritage with the students through a display of photographs, toys, clothing, books, music, art, maps, and food. At Grant, students are taught STOP, STOP, a student-wide anti-bullying and problem-solving program. In order to work toward this mission, students are taught to stop problems before they get too big and to use peaceful methods for solving problems. The school works to make our community a better place. Students participate in cleanup and adopt-a-spot projects with their partners in education, and groups of parents and staff called Wish Granted gather food baskets for families during the holiday season to help feed their loved ones. Grant also has a green school project called Grant Goes Green, which is home to the Eco Schoolhouse, an energy-efficient building that was built in cooperation with the school district and leaders in the design and construction community. And last but certainly not least, the school has a fantastic choir, Grant All-Stars, which have performed at events like Roots and Blues and Barbecue Festival. Built around a supportive community that thrives on diversity, the school creates a lasting connection long after students have graduated. As one Grant Elementary parent said, "We want our children to go to a school that mirrored the real world, the whole world, and Grant School is that place for us. Early exposure to diversity at Grant School is amazing. By living with diversity every day, our children don't see any barriers with race and ethnicity. Please join me in recognizing Grant Elementary School." For the next award, will Dr. Julie Middleton please come forward? Here she comes. Dr. Julie Middleton has been a powerful force and promoter of education for almost 30 years. Dr. Middleton has been an active participant in almost every aspect of our community. She has served actively on numerous boards, including the Central Missouri Food Bank, Show Me State Games, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Columbia Public Schools Foundation, Girl Scouts of the Missouri Heartland, and the Boys and Girls Club. Dr. Middleton has done important work in Columbia Public Schools and has been a pioneer in our community. Dr. Middleton served on the Parent Network and Parent Advisory Board for West Junior High and was the first African-American president of the Fairview Elementary PTA. Her interest in service to youth led her to work with the Audrey Walton Youth Leadership Conference and as a student sponsor for Tiger Score Against Hunger campaign. Dr. Middleton has worked with the Dell Teens Community Outreach Program for minority youth. She has a passionate interest in the development of the youth in our community. Most recently, Dr. Middleton was involved in the conception and development of the documentary film Battle Change from Within. She was instrumental in conducting interviews with numerous community members, school officials, and city representatives to tell the story of Elliot Battle, a community member at the forefront of the struggles as Columbia moved to be a more inclusive community. She also helped to develop a discussion packet as the film was shown to schools and community organization, there was an opportunity for dialogue among attendees to bring awareness to areas where our community still struggles and to help promote continuing solutions. Through her time in Columbia, Dr. Middleton has worked with many groups to coordinate events and call attention to diversity in this community. She was chair for the MU Black History Month. She spent many years on the planning committee for the Columbia Values Diversity Celebration. She is always an advocate for hearing the voices of all in our community. Currently, Dr. Middleton serves as director of organization development for MU Extension, providing guidance and leadership in the areas of diversity, civil rights, and workforce equality. Dr. Julie Middleton clearly exemplifies the teachings of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. through her promotion of education, her work in the community towards dialogue and understanding, and her selfless service to those in need. Please join me in thanking Dr. Julie Middleton.
Thank you, Councilwoman Hoppe, and congratulations to all the winners of this year's awards. Now, under the direction of Artistic and Executive Director Karen Merrick Grunde, may I present the Missouri Contemporary Ballet as they bring their diverse talents to our celebration.
Thank you.
We would like to thank the Missouri Contemporary Ballet and all they do for our community by sharing with us the gift of dance. Let's give them another hand. Now it is my distinct pleasure to introduce our keynote speaker, Mr. Steve Pemberton. Steve Pemberton is a trailblazing corporate executive, child advocate, motivational speaker, and author of A Chance in the World, An Orphan Boy, Mysterious Past, and How He Found a Place Called Home. He currently serves as the Chief Diversity Officer and Divisional Vice President for Walgreens, living a very different life than the one initially envisioned for him. He has become recognized as one of the nation's leaders on matters of diversity and inclusion and its importance to the growth of the American industrial complex. Considered one of the top chief diversity officers in corporate America, Steve's vision and leadership is changing corporate culture and bolstering productivity in the workplace. A ward of the state for much of his childhood, Steve has made opportunity, access, and equality pillars of his personal and professional life. He is recognized as one of America's most inspiring executives. His unconventional journey to corporate America has had a profound influence on the lives of others, inspiring young people and professionals to overcome challenges and create a path to a brighter future. A Chance in the World, An Orphan Boy, A Mysterious Past, and How He Found a Place Called Home is Steve's riveting memoir that chronicles his difficult path through foster care and determined search for his family. His relentless journey to overcome, find his biological family, and right the wrongs of his parents' past is a model for many families to follow. His powerful story has been featured by People Magazine, the Boston Banner, the Boston Herald, Crain's Chicago Business, Chronicle News Magazine, and multiple news networks around the country. It is our pleasure to welcome to our celebration, Mr. Steve Pemberton. And I want to present you with this honorary Columbia Values Diversity Award.
Thank you for that kind and gracious introduction. Good morning, Columbia.
Good morning.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought I was in the best small city in America. Good morning, Columbia.
Good morning.
Ah, there we go. That is the sound of family. I am originally from Boston. I moved to the Midwest about 3 years ago, and I've learned, actually, that I need to stop saying that I'm from Boston. Because the minute I start talking, it is apparent that I am from Boston. So I'm going to slip in a few Parc des Cars and Harvard Yard because I just think you ought to get the full effect of a Boston accent. During my undergraduate days at Boston College, I was told by all the members of a fraternity that whenever you had something important to say, in a short period of time to say it, all you really need to remember are the five B's. And the five B's meant, be brief, brother. Be brief. So, in conclusion, I want to thank you. See, you're laughing because you heard remarks, speeches, and you know they didn't hear about the five B's. So you feel free to appropriate that with attribution from the man from Boston. Brevity seems so important on an occasion like this. It, you know, occurs to me that whenever you're tasked with this monumental task of somehow, in some way, talking about the legacy of Dr. King and its impact on you, it's really a fool's errand, because there's not much that you're going to be able to do in the way of surpassing the guidance and counsel and advice that is still with us today. And it is just that. It's an impossible task. I know Dr. King only as a historical figure. I was less than a year old when we lost him. And so I have come to know him as so many of our generation do, a lesson in a history book or perhaps at wonderful celebrations and recognitions and moments like this. And yet, as I've gotten a little bit older and I'd like to think a little bit wiser, I am struck by the relevance of his life and his lessons that are signposts for us and guides for us for the future. And as a student of history, I think it's important that we get the story straight. It's important to note that we have often romanticized, particularly the march in Washington. We need to remember that it was actually called the March on Washington, for jobs and freedom. And marching towards something or at something is very, very different than marching on something. And marching for something as important as jobs and freedom are a reminder of the urgency of the time, how critical the organizers and Dr. King thought that that particular day was. And Dr. King on that day was making a fundamental argument about internal consistency, in essence, making absolutely certain that we are who we say we are, and that on matters of equality and access and opportunity, that we need to continue to live up to those ideals. So it's important not to reduce Dr. King to a speech or a quote, powerful though they are. We need to be mindful of the fact that he was a thinker, yes, and he was a man of considerable intellect, but he was perhaps most of all a doer. And we need to be mindful that it is really the actions are why the words are remembered at all. It's not an accident that Dr. King will have a legacy that will endure for generations and generations to come. And I think about his life in the context of what is around our society today. Candidly, I see so much of this me first, this prosperity gospel, this idea that I and we are to be measured not by how our communities are doing, but how we are doing. I look at some of the things that are posted in social media sometimes, and I am contemplating writing to Facebook and asking them to put a don't care button on their site. Because the fact of the matter is that I really don't care, and nor do you, how much cream you had in your coffee this morning, or what time you woke up, or those mundane things that really don't say much about the impact that you're having on someone's life. And yet I do understand the place that comes from. It comes from what Dr. King called in his speech February 4th, 1968, 2 months before he would be assassinated, the drum major instinct, that need to be first, the need to be seen up front, the need to be valued and celebrated as an individual. And that greatly, greatly concerned him and how prophetic he was in cautioning us against this need to judge our value by those things that we acquire and those things that we gain as opposed to the impact that we are having on others' lives. He said, if you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. And if you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And that is the definition of greatness. How timely. You know, as I was driving here, Mr. Musgrove was so kind, driving me around, and ways that I'll talk about momentarily. I'm just struck by the community, and I feel it here again as well. And I have thought to myself how important it is to make sure that we tell the story of this celebration, of this community. Headlines today are salacious and titillating, and they bring us stories of despair. And even goodness is presented to us as these temporary, you know, aberrations, mere blips in this great country. And we live in this microwave society. We need to have things first, or so it seems to me. And we run from one thing to the next, furiously so. And it's led to a bit more ego and a bit more self-promotion. And it's easier to tune out the challenges of the world, to go to our little enclaves, leave this wonderful celebration, and attend it, realizing that this is necessary and important. But it's equally important that the work that we celebrate here today, that we continue and carry forth. And it's particularly important in these times, and not just because of the need to be mindful of the sacrifices of past generations, but to be equally mindful of the character of our country, and to be mindful of what has built us. You know, as a business leader, I can tell you that there is nothing more immutable than the rapid diversification of America. And our traditions as a great nation and our future is going to be directly connected to our ability to integrate diversity into our daily experiences and our daily lives. And long after we have shuffled off this old coil, future generations are going to look at us and ask whether or not we were successful in that particular task and endeavor. And to do that, to reach that high bar that future generations set for us, that means that we have to look at things differently. We say all the time that great minds think alike, but the fact of the matter is that one of those minds is redundant. When faced with a great challenge, the fact of the matter is that you don't need two people who are looking at something the exact same way to get to the right solution. You want diversity of thought and perspective. I was introduced one time, someone who read my bio, and she had seen me around a bit prior, and she could not connect the fact that the person whose bio she had read was the person that she had seen. I hadn't talked to her, she just saw me. And as part of her introduction, she said, "He doesn't look like his story." To which I replied, "Well, none of us look like our story." And that, too, is important to note because it implies two things. One, that you have a story, and that it's worth telling. And the second is that whatever that story is, it is not evident just by looking at you. It's not evident just by asking your name. It's not evident by making some judgments about the way you're dressed. Diversity is a lot less about how you look, and it's a lot more about how you think, what you've experienced, and what you are willing to learn. That is the new definition of diversity. Never was that clearer to me than a conversation I had as a four-year-old boy. I was sitting in the car with a social worker. It was a hot summer day, and it's clear to me that we're going from one place to another. We are trying to accomplish my childhood dream. And my childhood dream was to find a real home and a real family. And this was the day it was going to happen. And so I woke up that morning with tremendous anticipation. I was going to find my real home where there would be a real mommy and a real daddy. But as the day goes forward and we're visiting home after home, and it's becoming clearer and clearer to me, even at the age of 4 years old, that this is getting more and more difficult. And by that last visit, I'm sitting in the car, and I thought I would be going to my new home that day, and instead I'm going back to the orphanage. And on the drive back, I asked the social worker, why is this so hard? And she said, well, Steve, it's because we don't know if you belong with a white family or a black family. I had no way of knowing that my physical appearance, what I looked like, presented a considerable conflict for nearly everyone around me. I'm African American. I'm of light complexion. I have blue eyes. And at the time, I had a blonde afro and a Polish last name of Klakowicz. So I am a walking mystery, not just to everyone around me, but to myself. And after a while, those questions of what are you and where do you come from and who do you look like became more like accusations. And the fact of the matter is that I never really did get those answers as a child. I was tremendously confused by what the social worker said. Because when you say something like that to a four-year-old, maybe the first lesson is that you shouldn't. Because about the only thing that I had experienced in the way of color at that age was a box of crayons. And so I thought that she was referring to the color of the house. And I remember asking myself, now why does it matter what color the house is painted if there's a mommy or a daddy there? That is all I really need. And I never found that place because of that need to define me. Perhaps the need to define some of you. Those entrusted with my care were so busy trying to figure out what I was that they forgot who I was, just a boy looking for a home. I managed to navigate those pathways with small blessings and kindnesses. No one ever really came to save me. I love to read. I still love to read. And the love of reading gave me a vision of a different life, one that I so passionately pursued with all that I am. And when I get back to Chicago tonight, I am going to go to the life that I envisioned as a boy, where I'll be greeted by my wife of 17 years and my three darling children, Quinn, Vaughn, and Kennedy. That was the life that I wanted as a boy. But I, too, had to learn some things along the way. When I finally did find my family a couple of years after my college graduation, we had this immediate collision. So for the first time, I could see who I actually looked like and where I had come from. My parents had long since passed on. But there was this immediate collision, particularly with my mother's family, because they are white and I am black. And we didn't immediately embrace each other. This was not a Hollywood story, because we were viewing each other through the lens of race first, with our different narratives of what that meant, and both of us wrong. But we stood there. If my siblings came in the room today, you'd have no idea that we are related, because you'd say, there are three white men and a white woman. And I wouldn't see that. I would see my siblings, for whom too much time has been lost, but a lot has been created as a result. And so we have tried to do the best we can with the story that we inherited, and we simply have tried to build anew. And I'd like to think we're doing a pretty good job of it. Those stories are within all of us in some way, shape, or form. It's not particular to me. Within each of your own stories and each of your own families is some story of sacrifice and struggle and equality and opportunity and access. Someone either in this generation or in past generations, made a stand, made a struggle for you, no different than those in our country today who are looking for the same. And in some small way, that is what you represent, a celebration of the past and a recognition of the future that is soon to be. Part of my love of reading, I envisioned home, what I thought it would be like. I envisioned communities and celebrations. I didn't come to understand home and community and family, and still don't, in the traditional way that most people do. But I, as I will tell you in a parting word, as I was driving here from the airport, I thought just for a moment that this place, Columbia, looks like the place I imagined as a boy. That my vision of what home and family and community and celebration, I could see it here. I could see it, and I can feel it today. So even though I won't know home in the traditional sense, I don't have, within my experience, I don't know what it's like to have a mother's love or a father's love. I don't know home and community and family in a traditional way. So I latch on to whatever experience I can get because it reminds me of what I wish for and what I have today and what I insist on building in the future for others. So thank you for making me part of your home and your community and your family today. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pemberton, for being a part of our community's celebration and sharing your words and your story with us. Please join Mr. Pemberton for a book signing in the Expo Center's breezeway located to your right following the conclusion of this event. Books are available for purchase courtesy of Barnes & Noble. This concludes the 2014 Columbia Values Diversity Celebration. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we look forward to seeing you again next year.